Amen. Welcome to Elevate Church. Let me start there. Good morning to everybody. Good morning. Morning. Thank you, TJ. Amen. If you're here for the first, second, or reoccurring time, you have not yet joined. That's the reoccurring time. Wave at me right quick and let me see you. Amen. First, second. Amen. Amen. Blessings. Any on this side, first, second, third time? You've been coming, but amen. Hey. That's your daughter. All okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome. Here at Elevate Church, we believe, belong, become. We're gathering of believers. A gathering of believers where everybody should feel like they belong so that you can become all that God has created you to be. If you did not receive a guest card, keep that hand lifted. If you would, want to make sure we have a record of your attendance on this morning. Amen. Let's go. Let's jump into the word. Grab Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 2, as well as Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. Proverbs chapter number 4. Verse number 2, as well as Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. If you would, while you're looking, stand to your feet as I am. Amen. If your neighbor is sitting, encourage your neighbor to stand. We stand for this reason, to honor the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 2. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. If you have it, say, I have it. If you're looking, say, I'm looking. Oh, y'all, yeah, oh, one looker. Amen. Waiting for me to put it on the screen, say, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We make our faith declaration as we do every week before we begin to teach the word of God. Now, we make this declaration, this confession for three reasons. Number one, we make this confession to let the devil know that we believe God. I'll say it again. To let the devil know that we believe God. You know, there should be morning confessions you make to remind the devil of who you are in Christ. There should be some declarations you wake up in the morning that you begin to command your day and you tell the enemy, the devil, to get out your way. I mean over your finances, over your peace, over your family, over your mind, over your body. You got to declare that in the morning so that the devil will know that you're coming, standing strong on his word. And so we make this declaration first and foremost to remind the devil. Number two, we make this declaration to remind God that we believe him. To let God know, God, I believe you and your word, and your word is true to me. We remind God. And number three, the third reason why we make this declaration, watch this, catch it. Come on, lean on your neighbor and say, catch this one. You got to remind yourself. Because when the day comes your way and start hitting you with left hooks, right hooks, and uppercuts, and you got to remind yourself, wait a minute, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. When things start happening, you got to remind yourself, wait a minute, I believe God. And I believe his word. So say it loudly and strongly with me. Today I'll be taught the word of God. My spirit is ready. You sure your spirit ready? And my mind is sharp. I believe the word. The word is truth. It is without error. I believe what the word says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I believe what the word says about me. I am redeemed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed. No sickness nor disease shall come near my home. I'm more than a conqueror. I am rich. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. Talk to your neighbor for a second. Say, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Talk to your other neighbor. They're jealous. Say, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Come on, point to yourself. Say, wealth and riches shall be in this house. Come on, point to the four walls of this church. Say, wealth and riches shall be in this house. Somebody shout, I'm blessed to be a blessing. My house is blessed. My children are blessed. My marriage is blessed. My church is blessed. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. Shout, I'm blessed. Shout, I'm blessed. Now say amen if you would. Amen and amen. You are indeed blessed. Y'all sounded pretty good. I almost believed y'all. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze straight before you. I had this word on Tuesday at our Bible study as we begin to give the state of address to our church. And the Lord wanted me to remind you of this text to keep your eyes forward. Don't look to the left nor to the right. Keep your eyes forward. Have tunnel vision in this season. Don't allow the cares and the vicissitudes of life, the things that happen all around you, cause you to be distracted. Keep your eyes forward. Stay fixed. Keep your gaze fixed on the Lord in this season. Can you say amen? So Philippians, jump to Philippians. This is Paul speaking to us. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. Somebody shout one thing. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things, God, which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The one thing I do is forget the things that are behind me, and I'm reaching. Somebody just reach out prophetically with your body. Just reach out. I'm reaching for the things that are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm reaching. I'm pressing. I'm stretching forward. I'm leaving the old things behind. And I'm coming into the new. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Today we stretch in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated in his presence. I want to talk to some people today. Just a few of you. Not all of you, just a few. The rest of you can just enjoy this conversation. But just a couple of you today, I want to talk to the people who have been hell-bound down by past issues, relationships, struggles. You've been hell-bound by those things. And it's hard to move forward. I want to talk to the ones who have been having a hard time going forward. It seems like every time you take a step, something pulls you back. That's the people I want to talk to this morning. Every time things seem to be going well in your life, all of a sudden, things just go into shambles. I just want to talk to those this morning. The rest of y'all, I just need y'all praying for them. And so there are certain people that are here today hearing my voice, and life has come and hit you so hard that it's been hard for you to get back up again. You don't want to enter into another relationship because of the past relationship. You don't want to enter into business because of the past failed businesses. You don't want to move forward. You don't want to be active and pursue anything in ministry, in church, because of the past hurt. Okay, y'all call it church hurt. And so you're being oppressed or you're being held down because of that. Somebody shout because of that. The Apostle Paul comes to tell us, he says that, listen, I'm forgetting those old things. I'm pressing past those old hurts and pains. I'm pushing past all of that stuff that I experienced in the past, and I'm pressing towards a mark. That I'm going to get up and I'm dust myself off and keep on moving. And so I want to talk to you from this thought I had on Tuesday, forward, take the land, with the subtitle, Not Looking Back. Tell your neighbor, I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back. I can't go back. I can't even look back. You know, when the Lord delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife made the mistake of looking back. Now, I don't know, and I don't even pretend to know what was on her mind at the time, but I can only imagine there were some things that she longed for back in Sodom and Gomorrah. There were some things that she had tickled her fancy, that had become her delight and joy, that she wanted to. You know, sometimes reminiscing can bring you in a bad place. You know, sometimes having that moment in your life where you think about the past times and how good it was and who you spent it with and how much time y'all did it with, it could be a very dangerous thing to look back. And sometimes we take that glimpse back in the past and we get stuck. And we'll be in a new place with the old mindset about the past. And the moment the new place begins to resemble the old place, we turn into salt. Okay. Tell your neighbor, I'm not looking back. Hear this. To get where you're going, you have to leave where you are. Okay, maybe that didn't resonate deeply in your spirit. To get where you are, to get where you're going, you have to leave where you are. You would never progress in life if you stay in the place you're in now. You'll never be successful. You'll never move on. You'll never have the abundance of life that God wants you to have if you stay stuck in Lodabar, a low place where there is no green pastures and no prosperity. You never get to the next level if you stay on this level. You'll never get to the next place of happiness and joy and fulfillment in life if you stay stuck in the pity party. Always blaming everybody else. It's y'all fault. If you wouldn't have done this, then I wouldn't be where I am. Yeah, okay. Can I come down matrimony row for a second? Husbands and wives, if you would not have invested in that business, then we wouldn't be bankrupt right now. Okay. If you wouldn't have bought that new boat. Okay. You know, that shopping fetish you have, if you wouldn't have went and got that Balenciaga, what is that in? That's it? That's it? Some of y'all telling on yourselves. Amen. If you wouldn't have taken out of our savings to give to your mama and them and grandma, y'all, we wouldn't be in this situation right now. If you wouldn't have loaned that money to your sister, you know Felicia got a drug problem. We wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. You get laid off of your job, and now you're blaming the boss when you come in late every day. Oh, they don't like me. No, they don't like your work ethic. They don't like the way you serve here at this business. You show up late and you leave early. It's not that they don't like you. They don't like the way you labor. But you're going to blame them. I just want to talk to you, those, just for a second. Everybody else be praying. But in order for you to get to the next place, you got to leave where you are. If you're unhappy in your relationship, don't leave the relationship. Leave that place that is dismal in your relationship. Learn to do better. Leave that place of blaming and always pointing the finger, you doing this and da-da-da and that and this, that. No. Leave that place and become a better husband. Become a better wife. Yeah, leave that place so you can get to a better place in your marriage. Amen. Okay, it's going to be a fight today. Okay, so press forward. Paul said, I press forward. This word press, aptly stretching intensely towards. In other words, there's some intensity about your stretch. There has to be some intensity. You have to intentionally stretch out and move forward. Life is just not, we say this, you know, life just happens. And to some people it does, but you got to be intentional about life. And so there has to be some intentionality with some intensity. Okay. You have to be intentional with some intensity about stretching forward. And some of you today, God is calling you higher and calling you out of the place you're in. And you got to be intentional about this thing today. Can you shout amen for a second? Okay. And God has said, I need you to be intentional about your life. Because the life I want you to live in Christ Jesus, you got to be intentional about. It is not just you giving your life to Christ at the altar one day and now you just walk through life just living your life. No, there has to be some intention on living for Christ. And there has to be some intensity. Oh, it's where it gets real tight. And so you don't just give your life to Christ and just live because Satan will chew you up. You got to have some intensity. You got to wake up with some fervor, some tenacity. And you got to live this life he's calling you to. So it's aptly stretching intensely towards. It's straining forward to reach. It's straining forward to reach. And so that has to be our posture in the body of Christ. We're straining. It's a point where your muscles are gyrating. You're straining to get to it. It's a strain. Tell your neighbor it's a strain. It's a strain. So this word press, and watch this, it's only used in Philippians in this manner. In the Greek, this word forward or to press forward is only used in this manner in Philippians, where it says that there has to be an intensity about your press going forward. And so the press, to move or cause to move into a position of contact with something by extending continuous physical force. That's what a press is. To move into a position. Just for a second, Pastor Adam, come here. It says to press and to move into a position. And so what happens is, come on, ladies, come on. And so what happens is there's some things in life that will become mountains that will get in your way. Get behind Pastor Adam, about 3 feet. Go on back. 1, 2, 3. That's 2.5. Boom, told you it's 2.5. All right, 3 feet. And there's some things that become mountains in your life. There's some things that build up in your life that become big. And watch this. These things are so big that you can't even see the promise from the mountain. And even the things of God. God says, I'm on the other side of the mountain, but you allow the mountain to be so big that you can't even see me. And now your problem becomes bigger than your God. And so now, God, I'm trying to see you. I'm trying to worship, but I got bills I got to pay. And God, I'm in the house of God, and I'm trying to see you. I'm trying to worship, but I can't see you because my grades are dropping, and I'm about to fail out of school. God, I want to see you, but I got this big old mountain of sickness and disease before me, and I'm trying to see you, but I can't focus on you because I'm so focused on it. And Paul said, we got to press. We got to move ourselves into position. With a force. And then I can push him because he's a big man. Amen. And he says, we got to move ourselves into a position. He played ball, but you know, in basketball, you got to box out. And he said, I got to move in position. Uh-huh. We got to move ourselves into a position so that we can make contact. So in other words, I can't let this thing prevent me from getting to him. Because I need to make, somebody shout contact. I got to make contact. That's what the woman with the issue of blood said. I can only but touch. I need to make contact. And I can't let these crowd of people prevent me from touching or getting in position so I can make contact. And Paul said this. He said, I press. I'm straining to get to it. Because watch what happens. Restrain me. I'm trying to get to it. But this thing is straining me.
It's restraining me. So I got to strain to get to it. I got to stretch to get to it. And this is what will happen if you allow life to hold you. It'll keep you from making contact. And God says, I'm not moving, but I need you to move into position. Some of y'all waiting for God to move to get to you. And God says, I'm standing right here because I need you to stretch. I need you to stretch. I need you to stretch. And some of y'all waiting for God to bail you out. And God says, no, not in this one. I need you to stretch. I need you to stretch. I could have healed you 12 years ago of the issue of blood, but I need you to stretch. I could have healed you easily of cancer at your house in the bathtub. It could have went blue and you'd have been done with it, but I need you to. I could have made sure your marriage was reconciled, but this season I need you to. I need you to stretch. I need you to stretch. I could have given you the money for the business, but I need you to stretch in this season. I could have sent your kids home from the crack house, but I need you to. Moses, stretch forth your rod. I know you got a Red Sea before you, but I need you to stretch forth your rod. I couldn't make it part on my own, but I want you to use what I gave you. I want you to use what you already have. You say you have faith, use your faith. You say you trust me, then trust me. I need you to stretch in this season. Now watch y'all stay where y'all at to move and exert and continue. It says apply pressure. Somebody shall apply the pressure. You got to apply the pressure. And it's applying the pressure. It's something going to flatten out. It's going to shape, become into shape, and it's going to smooth out. But you got to apply the pressure. And this is what the press does. Watch. It stretches you. It stretches you. Give me a little more stress. It stretches you. It stretches you. I don't want to stretch too much. I may bust my pants. Amen. No. I turn this way just in case. I got to stretch. I got to stretch. Now watch what happens in the stretching. Once I'm stretched, I'm no longer the same. Because over here I was one way, but in the stretching I become something else. So it's in the stretching I'm changing. It's in the stretching I see God differently now. I see Jehovah Jireh. I see Elohim. I see Jehovah Rapha. I see Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Teniskanu. I see him differently. Why? Because I became different in the stretching. I see him differently. I see him differently. But not only as a stretching, but there's a stripping. The press will strip you. It'll strip you. It'll strip you of your pride, your ego. It'll strip you. Because you thought you was all of that in a bag of chips with a soda pop and a lollipop. But the press, it'll strip you of your ego and your pride. It'll humble you. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that needs to be humbled. Got to humble you. So in the press, I'm stretched and I'm stripped. Because in order for me to get to him, some things got to be cut off. Some people got to be cut off. Some mindsets and some words that you used to say, some ideas you used to have, you got to cut it off. The way you used to think, you can't think that way anymore. You got to have a renewance of your mind. And he said, the way you thought about this before, change your mind. And there's a stripping away. That's what in Romans it says, that we have to have a renewing, a transformation of our minds, that our minds are renewed. So there's a stripping away of old thoughts, old ideologies. And then watch this. Lastly, it's in the press. I'm strengthened. So now watch. I'm going to need another person. He's too big. Come here, Mimi. Come on, Mimi. Now stay right there. Come here, Mimi. Hey, precious. Now watch. Remember, my mountain used to be bigger than my God. But because I have been stretched, I have been stripped, and now I am strengthened, my mountain now becomes a molehill. And what used to hold me, I can now hold. What used to weigh me down, don't weigh me down no more. What used to keep me depressed and oppressed, it don't hold me no more. I can tote this thing wherever I go. I got this. I can now get to my God because my mountain is no longer in my way. I can see my God more clearly. I can watch this. Before, I couldn't take my problem to God because it was so big. But now I see my God. I can come and lay my at his feet. Y'all didn't. Oh, I wish I had a church right there. Now I can take my problems and cast it at his feet. Where it used to be a mountain, now it's a molehill. Where it used to be a problem, now I can praise. Why? Because it's... Watch. I cannot make the mistake of looking back at my mountain. Because if I don't stay with my eyes fixed and gazed upon him, my little problem will become a big problem again. And now I'm bound by the big problem yet again. Galatians tells us this. It says, with the freedom that you have, don't allow that freedom to get you ensnared or entangled with sin again. I'm in the book, y'all. And so now I've been free. But I can't allow this freedom to cause me to be entangled or ensnared again with sin. I got to keep my eyes fixed. Hey, Mimi, how are you? You good? Yeah? Amen. I got to keep my eyes fixed on him. So now my problems remain small and my God remains big. You go sit down. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank y'all. Amen. And so that's the importance. I lost my clicker, but that's okay. And that's the importance. Watch. I'm closing with this. The children of Israel in Exodus chapter number 14. Watch what it says. This blew my mind. It is not. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians." For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we would die in the wilderness. They are free from their captor. But yet they're looking back saying, it was better for us to be in slavery. It's better for us to be in slavery. It's better for us to be there in bondage than to live in freedom. You know, there's a lot of people in the church. They'd rather die in slavery than to be free in the desert. Oh, y'all. Oh, my. Okay, maybe that slipped past you right there. They'd rather die in slavery than to live free in the desert. And they were free in the desert. But one thing they missed, though, I'd rather die in freedom in the desert knowing that my God is there with me. God was with them the whole time. When they were hungry, bread from heaven. Every day, a fresh loaf right out the oven. Matter of fact, it was so good that God rained it down. He said, don't even worry about tomorrow. I got another loaf coming for you tomorrow. don't worry about tomorrow. I got you. I got you. Look at your neighbor and say, he got you. I got you. Tomorrow it's going to be even fresher. It's going to be even better. Tomorrow I got a fresh loaf. Just eat what you need for the day. And then when that got too good for them and you know, bread wasn't enough, they said, we want meat. Bob says, God sent quail. And watch this. The quail just froze in the air for them to pick it. They didn't even have to chase after the quail. They just walked out of their tents. They didn't even have to chase after it. They didn't have to hunt it down. God says, I'm giving you room service. But they said, we'd rather be in Egypt in slavery. There's better graves in Egypt than out here.
We'd rather be buried in Egypt in bondage than to live in freedom in the desert. They started looking back. They started looking back. Matter of fact, bread from heaven and manna wasn't enough. They said, well, there's leeks and onions back in Egypt. Now, I don't know what a leek is, but I just know that onions by themselves ain't enough for me. And so they said, we got a better meal in Egypt, leeks and onions. That's what a leek is, a big green onion. So two onions. It's a whole onion. Whatever it is, gonna make your breath stink. And it's still an onion. And they said, we have that better in Egypt than this room service with fresh bread and steak. They were looking back to the past. And they said, leave us alone. Watch this. Don't long for places God intended for you to leave. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't long for places. Oh, help me preach this. Look at your neighbor and say, don't long for places that God intended you to leave. He wanted you to move from where you are to the place he's calling you to. But don't long for that place. Oh, I wish I was back then. I wish. Forget back then. Paul said, I forget those things. And I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm going to a better place. I'm going higher than where I am. So what's next? Greater things are coming. Tell your neighbor, greater things are coming. Greater things are coming. Greater things are coming. Greater things are coming. So here's my declaration to you today. Take the land. Take the land. Take the land. Come on, 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 take the land. Where my view that I'm preaching to today? Take the land. Come on, you ought to rise up and take the land. Take the land of your healing. Take the land of your peace. Take the land of your prosperity. Take the land of your marriage. Take the land of your wholeness. Take the land. I'm taking the land today. I'm taking the land. Stop high five with your neighbor. Say, I'm taking the land. Come on, stop high five with your neighbor and take the land. Say, I'm taking the land. I'm taking the land. I'm taking the land today. I can't look back. Because there's greater before me. I cannot look back. Because there's greater before me. I cannot look back. Because there's greater before me. I can't look back. Because there's more before me. There's more. There's more. If you think that God has blessed your life thus far, and you good with that blessing, honey, let me tell you, there's so much more. Listen, bro, there's so much more. You think you blessed now? You think you abundantly blessed now? He would do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or even think. You think that little blessing you got now with that new car, that new house, there's greater coming. You think that that little small blessing of a raise on your job, that's greater. That's always greater because we serve a greater God. We serve a greater God. Greater is coming. And God is just waiting for you to possess the land. He's waiting for you to take the land. Now hear this, watch, and I'm done. He's calling the children of Israel, sir, into the land of Canaan. And he says, this is the promised land that I'm promising you, that I promised your forefathers. I'm promising this land to you. Now this messed me up. Because as I begin to study the journey of the Israelites, there were many lands between the land that they were in and the land he promised. And this is what the declaration of the Lord says. I'm going to give you every place that your foot shall tread. Now watch. He promised one land, but every land in between. While they were going to the promise, he said, every land that you tread upon, I'm going to give you. He gave them the promised land, but they possessed they took the land, every land that was between them and the promise. So not only did they get the promise, but they were in the overflow. Oh, they went through the land of Amorites, conquered. That's my land. They went through Jericho, the city, conquered. That's my land. Every land in between, God says, go in and conquer and possess the land. I only promise you Canaan, but you can have everything in between. Woo! I'm promising you Canaan, but I'm such a gracious God, I'm going to give you everything in between. Oh, God. So watch. I'm done. Watch. You thought salvation just was eternal life in heaven. You thought salvation, when you gave your life to Christ, was just eternal life in heaven with the Father. The word salvation is the Greek word soter, Hebrew word sozo. It means abundance. It means prosperity. It means preservation. It means security. It means all of these things, protection. So when you gave your life to Christ, he said, sozo. It's eternal life, but you also get prosperity, protection, deliverance, security, wholeness. It means completeness. You get all of this in one package. In other words, I'm giving you the promised land, but you get every land in between. And some of you with your saved self and sanctified self just in church shouting, I'm saved, but you ain't got nothing else in between. Because you just saw salvation as just, I'm going to spend eternity with the Father worshiping him. He says, no, salvation, watch this, is not just for the dead. It's for the living. Because if that was the case, the moment you got saved, beam me up, Scotty. No, you're still alive. So salvation is still at work. You're still in salvation. Prosperity, protection, wholeness, preservation, completeness. Salvation is much more than that. That's why he don't want you looking back. Because if you look back, then you're going to miss out on all what he has for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have declared what you have said over these people. Now let it manifest in their hearts. There are those who are here today that have looked back into the old life, but we call them forward today. Let there be a stretching and a stripping. Strengthen them today, God, to come out of darkness and to walk in your marvelous light. If you're here today, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This appeal and plea is for you. Maybe you have, you're backslidden. In other words, you're looking back at the old life and you're desiring and longing for the old things. We're calling you forward today. If that's you, there's no judgment. There's no condemnation. God is calling you forward. Just press past your present moment and push into his presence. If that's you today, lift your hand. If that's you today, you want to give your life to Christ. You made some bad decisions. You want to get it right, backslid. He's calling you back today. If that's you, lift your hand. Thank you, Father. God, we bless you. God, we thank you. If that's you, just wave it at me real high. Thank you, Lord. God, we bless you and we thank you. If you're here today, you don't have a church home and you felt the presence of the Lord, he's calling you to this place. Maybe you're bouncing from house to house, looking for a place to rest. Well, Elevate Church is that place. If that's you today, you don't have a church home, and you felt the Spirit of God in this place, and he's calling you here. If that's you, lift your hand, wave it at me, do it now. Thank you, Lord. God, we bless you. God, we thank you. And God, we give you the glory. All over this place, clap your hands and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. As we make way for our 11:15 service on today, I would ask if you guys would make your departure out of the side doors, my right, your left, my left, your right, for all of our first-time guests today. I would love to meet you and greet you. I will be over here to my left through those doors. For those of you online, if you want to, amen, join or give your life to Christ, you can put it in the comment box below. We have intercessors that are upstairs praying for you. If you need prayer, you can call in or text the word join to 225-361-2016. Amen. God bless you is my prayer. Father, now depart from this place. Never depart from your presence. I pray that you bless each and every one of these in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would. Come on, somebody shout, I ain't going back. I ain't going back. I'm not looking back. In Jesus' name. Here at Elevate Church, we believe, belong, and become. We're a gathering of believers where everybody feels like they belong, and you can become all that God has intended you to be. And so that's the three tenets that we stand on. So we believe, God, that you are going to find yourself belonging here at Elevate Church, becoming all that God has called you to be and created you to be. Grab your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 20. Oh, God, I feel your presence. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number, glory to the Lamb. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 20, as well as Philippians, Philippians chapter number 3, if you would stand to your feet. Glory. We're going to forgo our faith declaration on today. Strong wind of his presence in this house. A strong wind of his presence. Strong wind of his presence. Oh, strong wind of his presence. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Us for Bible study. The Lord gave me this text and he told me to remind you of this. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Don't allow your eyes to look to the left nor to the right. Don't get confused in this season. When the enemy starts confusion around you, don't allow your eyes to go to the left or to the right. Keep it forward. And let your gaze be straight before you. Gaze means to intently look at something. Gaze means a strong desire to have.
that when you fix your gaze on the Lord, he says, I want you to have an intensity about your Lord. I want you to desire my presence. Keep your gaze straight before you. Don't allow your gaze to cause you to look to the left nor to the right. Jump over to Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13 is where we begin. We know this text so clearly and we recite it often. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, somebody shout one thing. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. That's why it's important, hear me, beloved, before you're seated, that's why it's important for you to keep your eyes straight forward and for you to gaze with the things before you, because how can you reach for the things before you if your gaze is fixed on the things behind you? How can you walk into the new thing if your eyes are keep looking at the old thing? How can you apprehend the things ahead of you if you keep looking behind you? I want to be clear with this, because there's some things God wants to do in your life. It's ahead of you, but you're stuck behind you. And God says, keep your eyes fixed on the things before you. Paul said it this way, I press towards the mark. I press. Father, now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the press. In Jesus' mighty name. Can somebody say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen again? Before you're seated, help me preach this message real quickly. Don't look back. You may be seated. And so, as we make preparation, God is about to do great, mighty things. Pastor TJ said this earlier in this church. God is doing some great and mighty things. And I wish I had time to go into depth all the things that God is about to do here at Elevate Church and all the things that he has laid before us. But I want to talk just real briefly to a couple people, not all of you, but some of you, that have been going through a tough time in life and you've been finding it very difficult to move forward. Okay, y'all won't be honest. Maybe the real people over here to the right. You've been going through a tough time. Every time you seem to get going, something knocks you back. I'm looking for the honest people. Okay, I'm trying to locate you where you're at. It seems like you're moving forward and things are going good, and then all of a sudden you get knocked back. That every time you put one foot forward, the enemy knocks you 2 feet back. And it would seem like things are going well in your life and things are happening. You just found reconciliation in your marriage, but then there's a report of sickness. Yeah? You know, you just get a promotion on your job, but then the company shuts down. You get a brand new car that God has blessed you with, and now you're in a car accident. Yeah? Where y'all at? And it seemed like everything is good, and then you get knocked back. I only want to talk to those people. The knockback people, you've been knocked back. The rest of y'all, just y'all going to be a part of this conversation. I just need you to pray in this moment. I'm only talking to the knockback people, the people who got knocked back, the people who are held down by, watch this, the past failures, past problems, past trials and tribulations. And those things, even though they have gone past, they're still pulling you down. It's been years since the house got taken from you, but it's still holding you down. It's been years since you lost the car, but it's still holding you down. It's been years since the divorce, but you still can't move forward. It's still holding you. Tell your neighbor, don't look back. You know, there's a problem with looking back because we know we have these reminiscent moments when we begin to look back over life and we see the times of enjoyment and all the things in the past that we used to enjoy. But there's a problem sometimes with reminiscing. Sometimes when you look back and you try to remember all the good days and all the good times, watch this, with the wrong people, you get stuck in the wrong place. And so you're looking back thinking, oh man, it was good back then, but you had the wrong person with you. And sometimes you get stuck. And you know what happens in those moments? You begin to compare what was then with what was now. Oh, she was good to me. She supported me. She was there for me. But that was then. But the one you're with now is a different one. And you begin to reminisce about the bad, about the past days and get stuck in them days. Some of y'all are reminiscing even about bad times, but you're stuck in the bad times. You're reminiscing about how they hurt you and talked about you, and you're reminiscing about what happened. And, talk to us. Lot. Lot is coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his wife, she turns and looks behind. Now, I wasn't there with Lot and his wife, but I'm sure she was looking back at all of the good things that she desired and all the good days and all of the stuff she acquired in Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the good times that she had at the barbecue and at the birthday and at the celebration. She looking back at the house and the y'all quiet, and she looking back at all of that stuff, looking at the past. Reminiscing over the old stuff. Some of y'all in 2016, the house got flooded, and you're reminiscing over the old stuff. Tell your neighbor, pass on, pass on, pass on. You got to get past that. You got to get past that. Some of you still got the pictures and the paintings and all the photos of the lost one that have moved on, and you're crying. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to demean or even to be insensitive at this moment, but time to move on. Okay. It's been 20 years now. Pawpaw gone. It's been 20 years now. Momo has moved on. Talk to us, Josh. My servant Moses is now dead. Prepare the people to move on. It's time to move on. I'm not saying you don't grieve and you don't mourn and all of those things, but don't let that moment hold you stuck. Don't tell your neighbor, don't get stuck. Yeah, grieve and cry a little bit, but dust yourself off. Wipe your face. Put some makeup and some Maybelline on and move on. You left Johnny, but God got a James for you. Amen. Amen. He got another one in store. And you're going to miss out on the one God is trying to send it because you're still holding to the one God took. And you're going to miss out on the next one, the one God wants to bless you with in this season, but you keep looking back. Tell your neighbor, don't look back. And he says, watch this, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press. Somebody help me preach. Say, I press. Oh, y'all not preaching good enough. Somebody shout, I press. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For a brief moment, I just want to yell at you for a second. Go forward, take the land. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, go forward and take the land. Subtitle for a second, not looking back, not looking back, not looking back. To get where you're going, you have to leave where you are. If you don't get nothing else today, you have to get this statement. To get where you're going, you must first leave from where you are. Paul said that in Christ, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So in other words, I got to leave the old and walk in the new. But I cannot get to the new if I don't leave the old. And some of you are believing and trusting God for some new things, but he said you won't make way for it. You're still holding on to the old stuff.
you're still holding on to the old past hurts and pains. And I want to bring forth healing in your life, but you're holding on to the old stuff. And so you got to leave where you are in order to get where you're going. And the word press, it's only used in Philippians chapter 3 this way in this phrasing, press forward, as Paul has declared to us. This word press forward simply means to aptly stretching intensely towards. To aptly stretch intensely towards. In other words, there should be an intensity in your stretch. Some of us are reaching for the things of God, but there's no intensity. Some of us are reaching for our walk and our salvation with God, but it's just a reach, not a stretch. There's no intensity. So we come to church and we just sit down and we just reach, glory to God. But there's no true intensity in our stretching forth. We read our Bible and we pray, but there's no intention in our intensity. I'm going to say that again. There's no intention in our intensity. We don't truly intend on touching God. We just try to get in a position where maybe we'll just so happily touch God. But there has to be an intensity in our intention to reach God. And what it does is it says that I have to push everything to the side. I have to make sure nothing distracts me because I'm intentionally, intensely reaching God. Let me help you with that even greater. Come on, Elder. Come on, White. Come up here. And Lady White, come on. Come on, I'm going to use both of y'all. Amen. Amen. I got another one. Come on, Pastor Adam. The Lord gave me something else. Stand right here. Amen. Turn and face me. And get behind 3 feet. Come on behind me. And just right there for a second. And then what happens is that camera needs you. There you go. You look lovely, sir. Good job for the camera. All right. Look lovely. All right. So this is what happened. So a lot of times we come into church. And there's no intensity or no intention. And so now our problems become so big. You're a problem, just for the day. Our problems become so big that even the problem's so big that we can't see the promise. The problem becomes so big that you represent God. The problem becomes so big, watch this, it becomes bigger than our God. And so now I come into church and I have these big problems that I'm facing, but I can't see my big God because my big problem has blocked it. Okay, y'all aren't helping me yet. And so there is no intentionality to say that this big mountain that I can speak to and say, be thou removed. There's no intention or no intensity in my seeking to seek God. So my problems become a barricade. And so watch this. Stay with me now. So this word, press forward, means a straining forward to reach. Straining forward to reach. Straining forward to reach. In other words, I have to strain because this problem will restrain me that will prevent me from reaching. And this word Paul uses, he says that you have to press. In other words, there has to be a straining to break free from the restraints. The bill that's holding me, that when I'm trying to reach God and worship God, the bill that comes before me is restraining me because I'm trying to see God, but that's all I see is the bill. I'm in church and I'm worshiping God. I'm trying to worship God. And while I'm trying to worship God, I got a repossession notice that I'm thinking about. It's restraining me. I'm trying to worship and praise my God, but I keep focusing on this report from the doctor that says you have some kind of terminal sickness or disease. And I'm trying to worship, but I'm being restrained. And I'm trying to reach, but it's holding me. It's restraining me. So watch Jesus come here. So what happens is this word press means to move or cause to move into position of contact with something by exerting continuous physical force. And what happens a lot of time is that you get stuck between a rock and a hard place. You got a problem on this side and a problem on that side. And one problem has you, and you're hooked. And then all of a sudden, while you're dealing with this problem, another problem. Boy, y'all strong. And what happens is now you got problems on every side. Anybody ever felt like that, where you were stuck between a rock and a hard place? Oh, talk to us, Moses, being between Pharaoh and the Red Sea, and then you're trying to get to the promise, but you're being blocked by a sea and your enemy. And so now watch. Paul says, I'm in a press. I'm in a press. Problems are pressing me on every side. Pressing me, and I can't let go. But I'm trying to get to my God. I'm trying to get to my God. This is what Paul said. The press is to cause to move into position. You know what the press comes to do? Cause you to move into position. Calls you to move into position. Watch this. For what? To make contact. Ah, y'all missed that. You got to move into position. Nah, I got my basketball days. You got to box out. You got to box out. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, young fella? You got to box out, right? You got to put that leg and plant that leg. You got to hook that butt, and you got to hook and turn. Why? You got to get into position to make a contact with your God. Because the problem becomes so big, you can't see your God, but I got a position. Come on, coach, give me the ball. I got to move into position so I can. That's what the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. She dealt with the issue of blood, but she had to position herself to make contact. Now watch, God could have did it 12 years ago. God could have healed you 12 years ago. He could have given you the house 12 years ago. He could have given you the job 12 weeks ago, but he said, I need you to stretch and position yourself so you can make contact. I'm not going to come to you in this season. I need more glory than that. I need you to stretch in this season because my glory is going to be manifested in your stretching. Y'all missed that. My glory is going to be manifested in your stretching because the world going to see you struggling. There it is. The world going to see you struggling and they're going to see you stretching and the world, my pants may split, let me get on this side. And the world going to see you struggling in your stretching. But the moment that you touch, they're going to say, oh, that must be a God. I seen Elder go through it. He lost everything, but yet he bounced back up again. I seen Pastor Adam go through it. Everything he built came down to crumble, but he bounced back up again. He's stretching. Now the world looks and say, man, that must be a God, because I know that would have took another person out. But look at the man of God now. Look at him blessed now. Look at him now. That's joy being restored. Look at him now. Why? Because he was stretching and pressing. But what happens is, watch this. I'm looking for a light wonder. Amen. Oh, Jesus. They're all heavy, Doc. Back there in the back row, she lightweight with the big hair. The one with the big hair back there. Look, she's trying to hide. Yeah, yeah, the one that's trying to duck. Mm-hmm. You will wonder. Come on. Come on, come forward. I need you. Come. Yeah, come on, give her, encourage her. Yeah, she like. She can work, she'll work. All right. Got me? All right. Yeah. All right. So what happens is, watch this. Amen. I think I got this one. Whew. So what happens is, just stand right here for a second. Remember, your problem becomes so big that you can't see your God. Now, you done spoke to the mountain and told the mountain to move. Mountain, move. Now, the problem is, though, if you keep holding on to the mountain will hold on you. So the moment you cast the mountain, you got to see your God bigger than your problem. So now, as I see my God bigger than my problem, now my problem becomes small in my eyes. Because I see my problem the way my God sees my problem. Oh, yeah. So my problem is no longer big because I see my big God and he sees it as a small problem. So what happens is, look at that. So what happens is, where my big problem used to hold me down, I can now take my problem. I can move my problem wherever I need to go. I can take my problem wherever it needs to be taken. And look, instead of me carrying my problem, I carry my problem to my God. Y'all not hear me yet. And what happens is, now I cast my cares upon the Lord, for he cared for thee. He's, oh God. And so now I see it the way he sees it. It was once big, but now it's small. What used to hold me no longer holds me. Oh, come on, give the Lord a hand clap, please. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. And so Paul said, we got to have this exertion of continuation of physical force. It's continuation, an exertion of physical force. In other words, we got to keep our hands to it. It's got to be continual. Let's go. I'm almost done. Come on. All right. So number two in the press is to apply pressure. I hear the Lord say to somebody today, it's time to apply the pressure. Tell your neighbor, it's time to apply the pressure. So this is what the press does. The press, number one, it stretches you. Where my note takers at? This is what the press does. It stretches you. It stretches you. Don't slap your neighbor in the face, but just stretch out. Now, here's the key to the stretching, is that when God stretches you, you change. You change. You're no longer the same in the stretching. You're changed by the stretching. And so when God stretches you out in this season, he's looking for change in you. He's looking for you to change. In other words, you can't go back to the old way. When you stretch something, you can't get it back to its normal because it's been stretched. And so what the press does, it stretches you. Number two, it strips. The press strips you. And this season is going to require for you to be stripped of some things and some people. Because the reason you see the mountain big is because you're taking on the mindset of the group of people around you. You got some people who are, watch this, they're helping you, they're complicit in your comfortableness in this problem. So what I want to say to you is in other words, they're aiding you in your dysfunction. Instead of them telling you, watch this, there were four leopards at the gate. And one of them finally decided to say, must we sit here and die? Must we sit here and die? Now, here it was. One had a different mindset than the many. He said, must we sit here and die? In other words, the thing you're in now, don't let it kill you. And you need people around you in this season that are going to tell you, listen, bro, you've been in this thing too long. It's time to come up out of it. Every time I call you, I'm going through. She left me. Oh, the lights are turned off. I need money for my rent. Bro, get up. Always got a moan story. Always got an issue. Every time you call them, it's either the water got turned off. I'm in somebody's business now. I'm sorry. And they always got some kind of story. They always got a need. Every time you call them, it's something. Bro, it's time to get up. And you've been aiding people in their dysfunction too long. You have handicapped them. Okay, I'm about to free y'all up right now. I'm about to free you up. I need some money. No, you don't. You need money management. That's what you need. You need a financial training course. That's what you need. You don't need no more money. No, you don't. You ain't getting no more. Come on, practice with me. You ain't getting no more money. Tell your other neighbor, say, you ain't getting no more money. What's that financial course that the guy, Jack Ramsey? Dave Ramsey. Yeah, I'm signing you up for Dave Ramsey. That's what I'm doing. I'm signing you up for Dave Ramsey. Matter of fact, the money you wanted to borrow, I'm using that for the course. Hello? Come on, somebody. I'm about to invest in your future. I'm going to take that money you need, and I'm going to invest it in your future financial situation. I'm going to apply it now for you to go through the financial course so that you can be a better steward of the money. So the next time you call me, you're not calling me to borrow but to lend. That's what I'm about to do. That's what I'm about to do. And so what it do is it calls you to strip. It's going to take some things out of your life, some people out of your life. That's depressed. Because as you're pressing, some people are going to be depressed. Because you're going to have to leave them to get to the place God is calling you. So it's going to strip you. I'm almost done. Here's the key. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to strengthen you. Because there are some things God intends for you to move yourself. And you're going to need the strength to do it. I'm going to say that again. There are some things that God is intending for you to move yourself. Oh, you church folk don't like that. You just waiting on the Lord. Lord, gonna deliver me. No, the jail block is open. You get up and walk out. And you're waiting for God to deliver you, and he has already done it. He said, I need you to move that thing. You're asking God, God, come down and see me. He said, I don't need to. I gave you strength. The book says you can do all things through Christ. I've already empowered you to do it. Now I just need you to do it. I gave you the strength to do it. Some of you are waiting to get out of your financial situation. God said, I gave you strength and a mind. I gave you a mind of love, power, a sound mind. That's what I gave you. Go apply for a job. Oh, they quiet, yo. They don't like none of that. I don't like none of that. And you say, God, I need increase. Go get a job. You got a lawnmower, go cut some grass. You got grandma's secret to those pies and cakes? Go bake some cakes. Oh, I'm trying to help you this morning. And you're saying, God, I need to increase. He said, yeah, I gave you creative power. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. I give you creative power to create wealth. I gave you the skill set and ability and all of that. That's all you need is a box of cake mix and some flour and some eggs and some milk and some water. That's what you need right there to jumpstart this thing. So if you want to come and borrow something from me, say, listen, I'm about to start a business. I just need $50 to get some eggs, some milk, some water, and some cake batter, some flour. Boom, there it is, baby. You're blessed. That's what will happen in the press. He'll strengthen you. Some of you need to leave some dead situations, and you need strength to get up and move. Okay. Some of you are being held bound by some situation, or shall I say some relationships, and you need strength to leave. Ladies, he hadn't proposed yet. Time to walk. Oh, ooh, my God. It's been 8 years. I don't think Lady T really gave me an ultimatum, but I knew it was time. I knew it was time. She wasn't playing around. You go ahead and put a ring on it real quick, you know. And this thing, it's been 8-9 years. And he been promising, oh, yeah, we're going to get married. You know, marriage ain't that important. It's just a paper. Say, Lord, give me strength. Come on, say, Lord, give me strength. Yeah, strength to walk out. Yeah. I'll see you on the other side. I'm not going to waste no more time with you. It's time to go. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody in here. So you're holding up the progress or the process of God sending me who I need. Be gone. You're the biggest loser. Bye. And you move on. And so that's what strength to do. When you are in the press, it gives you strength to make those type of decisions. because you need that strength. So watch, this is what I'm closing with this. The children of Israel, as they're leaving and exiting out of Egypt, chapter number 14, verse number 12, it says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us, this children of Israel talking to Moses, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better. Somebody shout, It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It is better that we serve the Egyptians than for us to die in the wilderness. They had rather died in slavery. Oh, y'all got to write this down. This is a tweetable moment here. They had rather died in slavery than to live struggling in freedom. Y'all missed that. They rather died in slavery than to live in the wilderness and struggle in freedom. And that's a lot of us Christians. We come over on this side and we're struggling. We're like, man, I might as well go back to my old life. Oh, y'all quiet. I had it much easier on the other side. When I was living for the streets, things was good. Money was flowing. Lights never got turned off. Water never got turned off. It was good. The devil didn't bother me. Tell your neighbor it's a trap. And so they had rather die in slavery than to live and struggle in freedom. They tell Moses, Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. There were better graves there. There were better food there. We'd rather go back in bondage. We'd rather go back in slavery. And watch it. Don't long for places God intended you to leave. Don't be desiring places that God says, say bye to them places. But you keep looking back at those places. And you're desiring that place. And God says, I intended you to leave that place. Don't long for it. Tell your neighbor, don't long for it. Tell your other neighbor, let it go, let it go. Here they are, they're in the wilderness, and they're crying out, God, feed us, we're hungry. And God rains down fresh manna, bread from heaven, straight from heaven. And they say, well, that's good, but we want meat. God sends quail. Now, that's the beautiful part about it. They don't even have to chase the quail. They don't have to run after it. God just calls the quail to freeze in the air. They can just run and grab it. And got a fresh meal. Watch this. Every day. Every day. And so the children of Israel say, this ain't good enough. There's leeks and onions back there. I learned in the first service, a leek is a full onion. It's a big onion. They said we have onions and big onions. We'd rather go back and eat onions than to have steak and potatoes. Tell your neighbor, don't look back. They said we'd rather have that than this. They were longing for things. Things that God was trying to remove them from, to move them into something greater. But they were longing for something lesser. I want to close with this thought. Because this is where the rubber really meets the road. Some of you in your salvation, you're longing for lesser than the greater. Let me help you with that. The moment you gave your life to Christ, you thought salvation was just eternal life with the Father. That you were going to get to sit around the throne and just worship Him all day long. That's only part of salvation. That's not the fullness. The Hebrew word for salvation is sozo. The Greek word is soter, which means preservation, protection, prosperity, completion. oh, wait a minute. So you're telling me God want me to prosper and be complete? And we come into church just with salvation. Oh, I'm going to go to heaven with the Father. No, that's just one part of it. That's just one part. Hear me when I say this. Salvation is not just for the dead, but it's for the living. And what God says is that I got a better land prepared for you, not in the by and by, but you get to experience it now as you go by. Ah! You don't just get to experience in the by and by, but you get to experience it as you go by. And some of us just, oh, I'm going to heaven unsaved. And you're not living the fullness of what your salvation is. In other words, you're just good with the leeks and the onions. That's why you're so quick to go back to your old ways, because you think it's not enough. That's why you still calling, you know, his name when you're kind of going through it. Yeah, they're going to get that on the way home. Every time you need a little money, you know you can call. Call Tyrone. You can call Tyrone. You know, when you're feeling a little lonely at night, you know you can, who you can call. You know her name. And instead of living in the fullness of it, you keep turning back to the oldness. You keep going back to the old place. And God is calling you higher. Now, here's the thought, and I'm done. God promised the children of Israel Canaan. That was the promise. Well, here's the overflow. While they were trying to get to the promise, they conquered land in between. Somebody shout, take the land. So what happened was, the promised land was there, but God said, in order for you to get to the promised land, there's some territory in between. And I need you to get to the promised land. So in order to get to the promised land, you got to conquer all the land in between. Okay? I'm in the book. He says, I'll give you every place your feet shall. So he promised them the promised land, but the overflow was every land in between. And some of you are only good with the promise, but you're missing out on the blessing of the overflow. And you're just trying to get to Canaan, but God says you got to get through the Amalekites, the present sites. You got to get through the Helakites. You got to get through all of these lands and conquer them. I got so much more in store for you, but you just want the by and by. You just want the by and by. And when the by and by don't come fast enough, when the by and by don't come ain't good enough, you go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. I go back to my old ways. I go back to the old things. Missing out on all that God has for you. Tell your neighbor, I'm not looking back. Tell your other neighbor, I'm not looking back. Tell your neighbor, I'm not looking back. You know why? You know why? Because this is what's next. Greater is coming. Come on, somebody ought to help me preach in my closing. Tell your neighbor, greater is coming. Come on, somebody ought to stand to their feet and shout greater. Ah, you ought to stand to their feet and shout greater. Ah, greater, 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 greater. Greater is coming. Greater is coming. He don't want you just healed, woman of God. He wants you whole. He don't want you just blessed. He wants you abundantly blessed. So you can be the lender and not the borrower. Greater is coming. Greater is coming. Greater. But we got to take the land. 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 Because watch, if you don't take the land, then the giants will reside in the land. They going to stay in the land. And if you don't take the land, the giants going to continue to rule the land. Then the next generation going to have to deal with what you should have dealt with. Hatabashet. And that's the problem now in the city. We got giants in the land that the matriarchs didn't deal with. That's the problem with the murder and the mayhem. There are giants in the land that the forefathers didn't deal with. So now we got to deal with. We got to deal with them so my children won't have to deal with them in their generation. You have to deal with it so your family won't have to deal with it for four generations. That murdering spirit, that whoremonging spirit, that lying spirit, that stealing spirit, that fornicating spirit, whatever it is, whatever that giant is over your family, you got to deal with it now. That's why we got to take the land. Somebody shout, take the land. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I commission and command the soldiers in this place. Soldiers, arise. Sleeping warriors, wake up. Giant slayers, wake up as we take the land. Father, we go in hand with the weapons and the weaponry that you have placed in our hands. Teach our fingers to fight and our hands to do war. Father, call us to the front line that we'll do battle and we'll conquer the land. Giants will fall. Giants will fall. Giants will fall. Giants will fall. Mountains will crumble. 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 We pull them down today, God. And we take the land now. In Jesus' mighty name. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this appeal is to you. Or maybe you have and you're backslidden. You're looking back over the old life. Lusting after the things of old. Saying, I wish I could have had this. Oh, I hear you, Holy Ghost. You're saying, oh, I wish he was saved, Lord, so I can go ahead and hook up with him. I wish he was a church girl. So you're looking at the past. God says, keep your eyes fixed forward. Maybe you're backslidden and want to get it right today. Today is your day. There's no judgment, no condemnation. You've done some wrong, it's time to get it right. Get it right today. If that's you today, made some bad decisions, but you want to get it right today. If that's you today, just raise your hand and have to do it now. I believe there's others that would say, today is the day. I'm getting it right today. I'm not going back to Sodom. I'm not turning back to Egypt. I'm not looking back. I'm going forward. Who else would that be today? Lift your hand. Do it now. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Look at your neighbor and say, don't go back. Don't go back. Look at your neighbor and say, don't go back. Find another neighbor and say, don't go back. For those of you contemplating, go back. Lift your hand now. You were thinking about going back. Lift your hand if that's you. Thank you, Father. God, we bless you. God, we thank you. If you're here today, you don't have a church home. I got to close. Got to get out your way. You don't have a church home. Even for those of you online, if you want to give your life to Christ, you can do so by putting in the comment box. But you don't have a church home and you feel the Spirit of God calling you to this place today. You visited multiple times. Today is the day for you to connect. Time to go forward. If that's you, don't have a church home but need one. If that's you, lift your hand. Thank you, Father. Don't have a church but need one. That you lift your hand. Thank you, Lord. God, we bless you. God, we thank you. And God, we give you the glory. It's in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Somebody shout amen. Come on, shout amen again. Shout amen one more time. Somebody shout, take the land. Come on, shout it, take the land. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, for all of our first-time guests, I would love to meet you and greet you. Shake your hand. I'll be in the foyer. Amen. Pastor Adam, amen. Can you close out in prayer? Amen. For all of our first-time guests, I'd love to meet you and greet you. I'll be in the foyer. Amen. As Pastor Adam closes out in prayer, all standing to your feet.